Shalom Chavrim, I'm Steve Benoon. You're watching Benoon Institute of Biblical Research, and also the broadcast here may be airing on Israeli News Live as well, so just kind of give you a little heads up on that. I want to take you guys real quick. I know we've talked a lot about the book of Jude, only there's only one chapter in the book of Jude. This is also, you can find, I think it's in 2 Peter, kind of alludes as well to this Nephilim race, what I call the Nephilim race. You might call it also the reptilian race that we see from things that I shared in the conference there. In actually, I did a very in-depth, more of a study there, and up in Oregon at the meeting that we'd had there at Canby Grove. Very wonderful group of brothers and sisters there. But at any rate, I was bringing out that again, had a lot of technical issues on that, and so we never got to really fully upload everything, and I didn't get to share everything with everyone, so I need to go back and teach it from beginning to the end, and I think it'll be a real blessing. But it's just that the Holy Spirit continues to reveal more and more and more. It's just like a ocean coming upon me daily. And so I wanted to share this with you, but I want to focus mainly. He says, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you on the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." That is not a common salvation. That is earnestly contending for that original faith. All right, because watch what he says, verse 4. "For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation." Right? "Ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ," Yeshua HaMashiach. Wow. I mean, listen, that is a power punch within itself. But when I go back and we talk about what Yeshua said, what John the Baptist said himself, I think it's going to really begin to come together in ways that we've just not thought about before. But let me focus something here to you. These men crept in unaware, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. You got to hold some of these thoughts here in mind. They come in secretly like spies. And I've shared that with you. I mean, I worked with CIA. I know what these guys do. I know what the FBI does. I know what the Mossad does. I know all these different groups. Mossad is very good at bringing in those false biblical teachers that come in. They creep in unaware, sounding like they're your brother, standing right there with you. But after all, eventually, it's going to be for a Noahide law. Why? Because there are some that are not truly of those that have ears to hear the very words that Yeshua brought originally. We're already seeing evidence of this everywhere. Now, let me focus on that creeping in unaware. I want to share something with you here. Now, I can't say that I agree with everything in this website, but I want to share this particular quote on the website here. It's called theuglytruth.wordpress.com. And he puts on here that Orthodox Judaism is not as a religion, but as a cult. I don't agree with that in all cases, by no means, because I realize that my Jewish brothers are blind and need their eyes open. But I also realize, too, that Yeshua clearly said about the Pharisees, for the most part, those that had ears to hear, those were the ones that were believers, but the others he called vipers. He called them reptilian race, and he even challenged, "How will you ever escape the damnation of hell?" It was clearly like some other type of demonic race that was formed there. And we see this happening. We saw that this is why God had Joshua and Caleb, the only two that believed out of the 10 spies, to go with the children of Israel and wipe out all the occupants of the land. Why? Because he knew there was no hope in them. They had intermixed with the fallen angels. We see this in the book of Numbers, chapter 13, I think it is, in verse 33, if I remember right. In Hebrew, it says Nephilim, not giants. So these Nephilim were also here in that time frame. In fact, let me just show that for you, because you might get somebody out there that says, no, the Nephilim were only, Steve, back before the flood. We find about the Nephilim only in the book of, we only see that in Enoch. The Nephilim didn't come after the flood. That's totally false, actually, very false. All right, so when we come down here, and by the way, Enoch is the one, it was, you know, the Anakim, and we see this also in Deuteronomy, they call them the giants, but in the book of Numbers, they are called by Moses, he writes them as the Nephilim. It's the very last word, very last verse, I should say here. And there we saw the Nephilim, the sons of Enoch. Now, in the Christian Bible, you read this in your English language, and you're just getting giants, all right? Okay, so it says right here, Vesham Wa'enu, okay? And there we saw Et HaNephilim, Bani Enoch, okay, sons, plural, of Enoch, Min HaNephilim. All right? Powerful, isn't it? I mean, this is just unbelievable what we're seeing right here. All right? So, they are literally Enoch. He's showing you that Enoch is from the fallen ones, the fallen angels. Enoch, that's why we see no genealogy of Enoch himself, because he is literally from the fallen angels. And we see in the scripture that they had figured out, when it talks about the sexual sins, and it says, don't pass your children through the fire to Molech, right? Wow, what do you know? That's how they did that. That's how Enoch got in here. And of course, his sons are also of the Nephilim. They're the fallen ones, right? And so there was this interbreeding going on back then, and God had to wipe out the entire race. This is why Jude brings that interesting statement out that they were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Only the Nephilim were ordained to this condemnation. And then we see God commands Joshua and Caleb, kill all the occupants of the land, leave none, don't spare women or children. They weren't killing just human beings. This isn't like what's going on in the Middle East today, where Israel and the United States and Turkey and all these other nations over there, including Putin and the rest of them, all over there, they're killing these people off, thinking that these are Nephilim. Well, there may be some mixed in there, but the point is we're not dealing with that situation nowadays, right? So, in other words, we have no right as Israelis to go and kill all the people off in the Middle East to make this greater Israeli project that the Rothschilds had envisioned. Totally wrong to do. Now, so let's jump back to this website right here. And like I said, I don't agree with everything they say in there. But he says here, he's quoting here, and this is from Rabbi Schneerson, who is believed to be the Messiah by the Chabad Lubavitch Orthodox Jews. You see his picture all over Israel. Everywhere they put him up there as a Messiah. Now, by the way, that's only about one of eight different Messiahs that the Jewish people have believed that have come in the past. Now, Yeshua is believed also by Jews in the past to be the Messiah. And, of course, he's the one that did raise from the dead. We don't have that with any of the rest of them. And contrary to Rambam's comment that he was the son of the violent, which is totally false when Rambam made this statement and says that Yeshua and his disciples were the fulfillment of Daniel 11, verse 14, the sons of the violent of your people will try to establish division, but they shall stumble. And then he blames Yeshua and his apostles for the demise of Israel and the house of Judah there in 70 AD. I think we need to go back and relook that again, because Yeshua was not violent. His apostles were not violent. What brought the destruction upon our people in 70 AD was the fact that we rejected our Messiah, which was Yeshua. My forefathers were there in the rejection, and this is what happened. So it's a tragedy, but nonetheless, we were blinded for the sake of the Gentiles' eyes to be open. So I thank God that there was a blindness at that time, in part, as Paul said, for the fulfillment of the scripture. But Rabbi Schneerson, okay, he says here, the Rebbe said to me, I want you to know, now he's actually talking about Shlomo Riskin, is who he's talking about. This is the one that is quoting this. This Rebbe said to me, I want to know that in every battle, there are certain people who have to dress up like the enemy. And they have to go into the enemy's territory. And their own co-religionists will think that they are turncoats, that they've become rebels. But without those people in the battle, can't be won. And you, Rabbi Shlomo Riskin, will win the war. Now this is Rabbi Schneerson talking to Rabbi Shlomo Riskin. And we're going to get to who he is in just a moment. You will win the war. You must produce shlochim, agents for the entire world who are modern on the outside and Chabad on the inside. Whoa! What do you know? Isn't it kind of interesting when you get these Israelis that are out there claiming to be Christians and coming out there like an evangelical pastor, and they're bringing you their that fake side of who they really are, but the inside is a Chabad. An inside is a Chabad to bring you down to a new world order. Yes. All right. Now, let me give you a little taste here. All right. Pope Francis, no doubt, a turncoat. He's a Jesuit, so he's got to be Jewish. And what does he do? This is on March 18, 2013. Totally went beyond us. We didn't even see, my wife even said, how did we miss this? But what did he do? This is on mauricepinay.blogspot.com. God bless this man for putting this out. Pope Francis and his priest of the Chabad Rabbi Riskin's Noahide Center. Last year, we noted that priests were selected in cooperation with archbishops of Sao Paulo, Buenos Aires, and Bogota to attend Chabad Rabbi Shlomo Riskin's Noahide Center in counterfeit, they said counterfeit Israel. I don't agree with that. There again, God brought the state of Israel into being, regardless of how evil they went about doing it. It still was to fulfill the scripture in order for the house of Judah to be home to recognize the remnant that will recognize, that is, that Yeshua was indeed the Messiah. So I don't agree with that statement there. The Archbishop of Buenos Aires at that time is now Pope Francis. Wow. What do you know? He was trained at the Noahide Center, the seven Noahide laws, which, by the way, kind of look innocent until you find out the Chabad Lubavitch and the interpretation of the idolatry law is the fact that if you believe Yeshua to be the Messiah, as far as divinity, you are to be put to death. Yeah. Didn't know that, huh? That's exactly right. Isn't that interesting? The Archbishop of Buenos Aires at that time is now Pope Francis. He was sent to Rabbi, the Chabad Rabbi Riskin's Noahide Law Center. So when I have Catholics, and I have Catholics that came here in Orlando, I had Catholic friends, and I want to call them friends because they're friends to me. They came there to the meeting in Oregon as well. They share with me, we listen to your program, we love your program, but they tell me, all of them tell me, Pope Francis is a Jesuit, he is a Jewish infiltrator to help bring the Catholic people down. Well, I still say, God says, come out of her, my people. So we need to come out of all these systems, because yes, they are corrupt. Yes, they have been overtaken, right? Now, ooh, it gets even better though. Let's now we know, Jude said, what? What did he say? For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God, which means they deny Yeshua as a deity and our Lord Jesus Christ. Now you know where they're going, right? And my wife and I, we're going to do, Yana's going to start this thing called Yana's Chat. Don't know where we're going to, probably have to post it on Patreon, because we're going to get into some stuff that ain't going to be very pleasant to a lot of folks' ears. Now, remember how I shared with you guys the other day, I shared with you where Yeshua talks here, O generation of vipers, how can you being evil speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasures of the heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasures bringeth forth evil things. In fact, go up to verse 33. Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by its fruit. Oh, God. Let's just back. We got to look at this. Oh, I'm excited. If you can't, oh, man, I'm so excited. When I get these revelations, I get so excited. All right. Yeshua gets into the blasphemy. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. Whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. Either, watch this, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by its fruit. So the tree represents an individual, right? O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the treasure of the evil treasures bringeth forth evil things. But I say to you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. All right. Now, again, I shared with you guys this one going here. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchers of the righteous, and say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would have not been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Now watch what he says. Wherefore, you be witnesses unto yourselves that you are the children of them which killed the prophets. That's important. You're the children of them which killed the prophets. Fill you up the measure of your fathers. What did Jude say? Foreordained to this condemnation. Let's jump back over there again. See, before of old, ordained to this condemnation ungodly men. He's clearly identifying a Nephilim race that is among us. So what is he saying here? Now, fill you up in the measure of your fathers. They're not going to change. You serpents, you generation of vipers. In the Hebrew, Matthew calls them seed of vipers. Or vipers, seeds of serpents, I think is the way it says it in the Hebrew, Matthew. A reptilian race. A demonic race, right? And he says, how can you escape the damnation of hell? Wherefore, behold, I send to you prophets and wise men and scribes, right? And he says,
did I lose it?
Yeah, I lost it, sorry. But anyway, he sends them scribes and prophets, and they will kill them as well. So now let's go back to what I wanted to show you. John speaking. And this is where I didn't catch it before. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Now, you got to keep something in mind here. It was the Maccabees that usurped the priesthood. The Pharisees are nothing but a bunch of false priests to begin with. Now, no doubt maybe there was a true Aaronic son in there, a true Zadokite priest that was inside the temple at the time, like we saw Zacharias, who also was looking for the coming of the Messiah, right? But for the most part, and we have also we had Nicodemus that comes to Yeshua by night, but for the most part, they were not. We see that they are from the priesthood, or from the false priest, which in the assumption of Moses even called them a slave class. Interesting, isn't it? So, as we saw, the Maccabees, they not only usurped the priesthood, but they put in their own high priest, their own priest, and then they took and threw out the king and replaced the king. Told nobody was descendant of the true Zadok priest, nor the true descendant of King David. So all these royal so-called bloodlines of today that claim to be descendant of David and they have all their pedigree to be able to prove it, they are nothing more than the Maccabees of the slave class according to the book of the Assumption of Moses. Now, I can't say the Assumption of Moses is an accurate book. I don't know for sure. There's a lot of debate over that, but it is a document that was believed to be written according to scholars back during the times of Yeshua. Nonetheless, we'll leave it at that, just as a historical reference in this case. But watch what John says. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Okay? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance, and think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say to you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And again, remember, like I said, Yeshua agreed that Abraham was your father, but in another place, and I forget which chapter it was in Matthew, I want to say it's Matthew 19, he actually says, fill you up, no, he says, you are of your father, the devil. And I said, how in the world could that be? Well, what is Nephilim to begin with? A Nephilim is the mother is a true descendant of the children of, in this case, the children of Adam back during the times of Enoch. But in the times of Abraham, in the modern biblical time, it would have been that their mothers were children of Abraham. So therefore, they could say they were sons of Abraham by their mothers, but not by their fathers. And that's why he says, and think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father, for I say to you that God is able to raise, able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also, watch this, here it is. The axe is laid unto the root of the trees. What did Yeshua say a moment ago? If the tree be good, it'll bring forth good fruit. If it's bad, it brings forth bad fruit. Therefore, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. The tree represents that Nephilim race or reptilian race, whatever you want to call it. That's what he was dealing with then. And don't kid yourself, we have it yet today. And they're still creeping in unawares like they were in the days of Jude, right? Let me just show you another one that came off here. And this here is, was put out by True News. And they were talking about John Hagee. This is just back about 6 months ago, I guess, here. Rick Wiles on True News, he brought this one out. And John Hagee had to pull all this information off the internet. I didn't even know he'd pulled it down, but he had wrote his new book. And John Hagee also, remember he apologized to the Vatican? I didn't know the Pope of Rome when he was a cardinal was going to a Noahide Center, but undoubtedly John Hagee went to the Noahide Center as well. But he must be a spy for him. Just like the Rebbe said. Told Shlomo Riskin, get you some spies and send them in. And yeah, there's still those spies are still out there today, claiming to be another type of Israeli True News because they are Jews living in Israel. I lived in Israel as well. I was also blown up by a suicide bomber, but by the miraculous grace of the Eternal Father, by the love of Jesus Christ, he directed my steps out of the path of the bomber. When I would have stood right there with her and would have died with her had it not been for his grace. Right? So that doesn't mean anything to me when you say that. Because when I see clearly the spies that have been sent in, I'm trying to wake the people up of what's really going on. Listen here to Rick Wiles here. And listen to what he says here about John Hagee. And you'll get to see the clip of John Hagee where he denies the deity of Yeshua by even saying that he never claimed to be the Messiah, which is contrary to the word of God, because Yeshua did claim to be the Messiah. To the woman at the well, when she says, we know that Messiah is coming, we comes, that's what he'll do. Yeshua says, I that speak with ye am he, paraphrasing. Listen in.
This is the promo video that Mr. Hagee did his very best to get it off the internet. They went after websites that had it.
Yes.
They forced it off almost every website. We found a grainy version that was still out there, but he was very successful in eradicating this promo from the website. But this was the original TV promo for that blasphemous book he published. Watch it.
I'm delighted to present my latest book, In Defense of Israel. This book will expose the sins of the fathers and the vicious abuse of the Jewish people. In Defense of Israel will shape Christian theology. It scripturally proves that the Jewish people as a whole did not reject Jesus as Messiah. It will also prove that Jesus did not come to earth to be the Messiah. It will prove that there was a Calvary conspiracy between Rome, the high priest, and Herod to execute Jesus as an insurrectionist too dangerous to live. Since Jesus refused by word and deed to claim to be the Messiah, how can the Jews be blamed for rejecting what was never offered? Read it in this shocking expose, In Defense of Israel.
That is one of the most blasphemous, heretical books I've ever seen in my lifetime, how that man is permitted to continue his charade, I don't understand. I don't understand why Christian television networks continue to sell him time. I know why, because they've been Zionized themselves. We found out that when we went on religious television, it's not Christian TV, it's Jewish TV.
Right.
There is no Christian TV left.
It's hard to hear that. There's no doubt about it. And a lot of people don't like Rick Wiles because of these statements that he's saying. But the thing is I've clearly said to you guys over and over and over, time and time again, and that is, there's two types of Zionism. There are the Jews that really love their God of Israel, and they're gone home to see the coming of the Messiah. Many of them, as they have returned back, even now, Yeshua has come to them in dreams and visions, revealed himself to them, and they have believed. This is why we have a growing movement of believers in Israel. But the secular government of Israel is crushing them down. That's the Zionism that Rick is talking about. The Zionism that is not for the believers in Israel. They are not for the Jews of 2,000 years ago, like it was 2,000 years ago. They are just like the secular government of 2,000 years ago, when Rome and the secular government of Israel were willing to put to death not only Yeshua, but any of his apostles, his disciples, his followers, throw them out of the synagogues, etc. This is what's happening in Israel even today. And why does it happen? We've got a fallen race among us. I'm Stephen Bannoun. You're watching Dannoun Institute of Biblical Research. Listen, you want to know the truth? Tune in. By his wonderful grace, the grace of Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, I will always tell you truth. That's what I think you should support. If you want to support something that's true, that's what we're trying to do. And it's not a very popular way. It's with the despised few that we find ourselves. I'm Steve Bannoun with Dannoun Institute of Biblical Research. As well, no doubt, will air on Israeli News Live. Share this video everywhere you possibly can. Our address where you can mail is right there at the bottom of the screen. Also, our website, IsraeliNewsLive.org. You can donate online there as well. Thank you. God bless you. Don't forget to patreon.com/Israeli News Live. We do load things there. Try to do at least once a week. We went a couple of weeks, we're unable to because of being in the conferences there. And again, we will be working on a conference coming up here in Orlando. Maybe I'll lose a little weight by then. I know people are saying, Steve, you must drink beer. No, I've never drank in my life. I published a video there at the conference in Oregon. And some people thought, well, you drink beer. If you guys remember, I always tell you, when I come to the United States, I always gain about 20 pounds, 20, 25, actually 20 pounds is what I gained when I came here. Something about the food here. And, you know, I eat a lot of vegetables and stuff. I like food like that. But dairy, I have issues with dairy. I got allergy to dairy. I've got allergies to gluten. And unfortunately, unless you're eating sprouted bread or something, which I'm not too crazy about, it causes a lot of bloating. And for me, I never gain weight anywhere but the midsection. So when I do gain weight, it's always in the middle there. My wife, too, said my big issue is I like sugar. I do like cookies. And I did cut myself down to one Coke a day, but I am actually going to stop it completely. So anyway, pray for me. God to give me grace to overcome the sugar part, and maybe I can drop down a little bit of weight there. I know when I go back to Europe, I'll lose weight regardless. I always do. I go down to about 180 pounds. When I come here, I always gain up to 200. Anyway, blessings to you all. Thank you for watching. Stephen Bannoun with Israeli News Live.